Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So have any of you gotten to the point where you have to leave notes for yourselves to remind you of things? Any of you? Yeah? If you haven't, you will soon get there. Have any of you gotten to the point where you've left yourself a note to remind you of something and then forgot where you put the note? Mm-hmm. I've actually gotten a little better at this. I started texting myself my notes, and then I forget what I've texted myself, and then I open up the text, and I'm like, I have to text it again so my little number one stays on my icon, you know, or else I'll lose it. You know how that goes, right? We need those reminders in life. What about any of you? Do you find comfort when you open up a picture book or look at family pictures on the wall? Do any of you like to do that and see your family and find comfort and remember good times and enjoy those times? Do any of you like to do that? Yeah, that's kind of a nice thing that we do in life as well. How about this? For those of you that are students or who work, how many of you like to watch that clock tick down to closing time? Yeah, I know, right? When we were in our work days, we watch that clock and it's getting close to the end of the day. And it seems like as it gets closer to the day gets longer. And finally, the end of the day happens and you're happy because that end of the day time is assigned to you that it's time to go home and relax for the evening. Or maybe even better yet, the whole weekend, right? Today, more than ever, in this society that we live in and the culture that we are confronted with, we need to be confronted with the sign of the covenant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, in this world where we live, where culture has become so egocentric, so arrogant, so prideful, so destructive, so abusive, so against the church, so against what God has commanded the church to be, we as Christians need more and more to look at that sign of the cross, the covenant that God has made with us, and to be reminded to celebrate how much God loves us, what he has done for us, and the forgiveness that he brings in to our lives. In our Old Testament lesson for today, God makes a covenant with his people, and he gives them a sign. Just what is a covenant? Do you know? It's a contract. It's a promise. It's a promise and a contract tied together. In the olden days, especially in B.C. times, we're talking Old Testament times, and even into some A.D. times, after the birth of Christ, covenants were made commonly between governments, between kings. They were usually a way to end a war or to promise that they wouldn't go to war. And this is kind of what happened. They would draw up this contract, this promise. And the contract would be filled with a lot of if and thens. If you do this, then I will do this. If you don't do this, then I won't do this. And then that was kind of how the covenant was drawn out. But then the covenant was always sealed in a very strange way. It had to be sealed with blood. I don't know about any of you growing up, but did any of you ever have blood brothers or blood sisters? Did any of you ever do that, you know? And one person raised their hand. Yeah, I know, at least they're honest. But yeah, remember that as a kid? You would like, oh, you're my blood brother, you're my blood sister, right? These covenants, they had to be sealed with blood. So very often what would happen is they would take a cow or several animals and they would literally cut them in half and they would line them up in a row and let the blood scatter on the ground and walk through the blood together. And that's how that covenant was sealed, as a symbol of what would happen if that covenant was broken. Because if that covenant was broken, the side who broke that covenant would be punished by death. And that blood was a sign or a seal of that covenant, of that promise that was usually made between two lands, two kings, or whatever else entity made those covenants. And it was enforced by death. And so here in the Old Testament, we have God making this covenant with his people with a rainbow, and you might say, wait a minute, there was no bloodshed in this covenant. But if you stop to think about it, there was. A lot of people died in the flood. A lot of people. And they died because the world was very much like our culture today. Self-focused, self-driven, egocentric, prideful, sinful, wanting it my way or the highway. A culture and society that was turning away from his God and his principles for the church. A culture and a society that was doing away with the Ten Commandments. A culture and a society that put their own wants and desires above that of the gospel and the word of God. And God said, it's time to set things right. And he sent a flood. And blood was shed because the promises of God were broken. But what's unique about this covenant is, on the flip side of the coin, is what God said when he put his rainbow in the sky is, this covenant is between me and you, and this new covenant is that I will never ever flood the entire earth ever again. I will never destroy the entire earth by water. I will never do it. Now, what's different about this covenant? It was one-sided. This new covenant that God made with his people by signing it with a rainbow in the sky wasn't like the old covenants that he had made before. This one was totally one-sided. And God had promised his people that every time you see a rainbow, it will be a sign to you that I love you and I will never, ever destroy the world entirely again by a flood. The importance of this one-sided covenant is a foreshadowing of what God would do for us. It is a foreshadowing of the covenant that God would make between you and me, which is the best covenant ever made. Today, as we gaze upon the cross, and as we celebrate the empty tomb of Jesus, we truly have a covenant from God, a one-sided covenant that brings us eternal salvation. Today, as we gaze upon the cross and celebrate the empty tomb, we truly have a covenant from God that is one-sided, that brings us eternal salvation. You see, God made his covenant with us an everlasting covenant. The covenant he made with his son was not a covenant that was bound by time, but it was for all eternity. The covenant he made with his son to us was a covenant that would last forever for you and for me, to give us the greatest hope that mankind ever had. The covenant that God was going to make and did make with you and me was a covenant to reestablish what God established in the first place when he created mankind in the beginning. A covenant of love, a covenant of perfection, a covenant of grace, a covenant of mercy, a covenant by which his people will not only live together in God's love, but together sharing his love with one another. In Christ, in his shedding of his blood for you and me, God himself took on both sides of this covenant. This is why it is so crucial that we remember the cross. This is why it is so crucial that we think about what Christ did on the cross. Because in his death on the cross, as Christ hung there, shedding his blood for you and for me, that was God taking both sides of the covenant upon himself and saying, this covenant is now totally dependent upon me. My people will be forgiven. My people will be saved. The world will be saved through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's so serious about it. Think about what God says in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. What does that mean? God didn't send Jesus into the world to send anybody to hell. God sent his son into the world to save everybody, to redeem everybody once and for all. And then it goes on to say, for those who believe will have eternal life, but those who do not believe stand condemned already. For those who do not have eternal life, this isn't God punishing them. They have brought punishment upon themselves because they do not believe in Jesus by their own accord. By these words, we see that this covenant that God has established with you and me is totally one-sided, eternal, glorious, perfect, everlasting for you and for me. His forgiveness stands forever. It cannot change. His forgiveness for you and for me, no matter what our past or our present or our future holds, no matter what we've done, no matter what we've been through, his forgiveness stands for you and for me forever. This is the overwhelming love of God and the covenant that he gave to you and me by shedding the blood of Jesus on the cross. And God says, if you break that covenant, I will take the punishment on myself. And I have already done it. Just look to the cross. You see, the promises of God for us cannot be broken. God is faithful. He will not break his promise to us. He is not like mankind. He is not like this world where we are famous for conditional love. He is not like this world where we hold grudges and won't let things go. God cannot and will not do that, because God has made an absolute one-sided covenant to forgive our sins now, yesterday, and forever. No matter our past, no matter our present, no matter our future, no matter our pains, no matter our struggles, no matter our wrongdoings, no matter our mess-ups, God's forgiveness and eternal life is for you and for me, and the sign of that covenant is the cross and the empty tomb behind it. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one, he says, because Jesus Christ has died and has risen for you and for me. And what that means is this: as we go through this world of brokenness, as we go through this world of imperfection, as we go through this world where we're bombarded with doubts and fears and trials and temptations and sin and wrongdoings, because we all are bombarded with that, nobody is exempt for that. As we go through this world, as Satan tries to bring shame into our lives, as we go through this world of spiritual attacks, as we go through this world that is imperfect, we know that we have a God who has redeemed us, who has saved us, who has brought us into his eternal glory and promised us the hope of perfection that is to come in heaven itself for each and every one of God's people. God is faithful. He cannot break his promises. So just as sometimes we have to leave those notes to ourselves, or text ourselves, or put a rubber band around our finger, or in kindergarten when this teacher used to staple the letter to my shirt to go home to mom that said, Travis talks too much in class, we can look to the cross of Jesus Christ and just beyond it to the empty tomb, and be at perfect peace and perfect hope in knowing that because Jesus lives, we too stand forgiven and will live forever. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen.